Good morning. If you don't know, which I'm sure most of you do, today is not a holiday in America, but almost like a holiday, Super Bowl Sunday, right? You've probably heard a little bit about that. You may have seen on Facebook this week, I saw, and some of you kind of connected me to this, just talked about we ought to be as excited or more about God and church and things like that than we are a football game. And, you know, next time your preacher makes a good point in a sermon, right, you ought to dunk him with Gatorade like the players do, like the players do the coaches after a good game. So I just want you to know my head's on a swivel. I'm watching for the Gatorade bucket, and I'm okay with that. I just ask one thing, that, you know, song leaders work hard. When they finish a good song, you know, give them one. Shepherd time does a good shepherd time. This morning, I want to talk about small groups. I'm excited about our small groups. We've made it known the past couple weeks that during February, we want to have an extra emphasis on our small groups. Back in 2000, this congregation decided on Sunday nights that we would shift, and instead of meeting together traditionally for Sunday night service, that we would meet in smaller groups. And that happened in 2000. It was a good decision. Small groups have been a major blessing for our congregation. I started here. I came here in 99, and so summer of 99, and it was that next year that small groups kicked off. I remember in February of 2002, this is 14 years ago, when Sydney was born, my small group came to the hospital to share in that joy with us. If you're in a small group, you understand the bond and the value in having people like that that you're especially close to that have your back. They support you. I want you to know, if you're not in a small group, Not everyone is even able to be. Some, your health doesn't permit you to be out Sunday nights. Some, the 5 o'clock service and the way that works and the fellowship you gain in that and before that and after that is a blessing to you. And so the intent is not to force everyone into a small group, but I do want to share some great things that small groups do. I want to remind us, Genesis, you may have never thought of this, but Genesis 2:18, way back close to the beginning when God created man, remember what he said about Adam. He said, "It is not good that man should be alone." The Maker knew that we don't do well alone, do we? We don't do well against the devil alone. We don't do well in many ways alone. We need community. We need big church family, and we need smaller connections to other Christians. So I want to run through seven of these reasons or things that small groups do for us. And so the first one is that small groups train leaders. Small groups have encouraged our men, some of our men, to lead or to teach. And I say teach, it is teaching in a group setting. And it's a great entry-level way for a man to get started teaching. And I want to name just a few. Richard Prater taught many, many, many small groups. And he's teaching in class now. Rick Odell taught class this morning. Taught many small groups. Now, R.W. and Joe Richardson. Up on the table this morning. He and R.W. led many small groups. Those things help those men to grow. Jay Thompson taught class this morning. He's taught many small groups. Tom Sism has taught many small group lessons. Brian Benton, who said, "I will not do that," right? "I'm not doing it. I'm good with this. I'm good with that. I'll help with this." And there's no and folks, not every man has to be a teacher. But I just want you to know something. Even those that don't think they're able and would really prefer to serve in other ways. The next thing you know, he's leading a small group. I don't know how that happened. I didn't even plan. I can't take credit for that. But I know he's in a leadership position in a small group. It helps train leaders. Small groups help connect new members. Mom and Dad were recently down in Shakota for church there. And being with a church family that they had been with for 35, 36 years, those people miss them, as you would imagine. And vice versa. But they asked Mom and Dad, you know, how's it going with church in Sand Springs? And does it feel like home? And it was kind of asked in a way expecting, you know, almost a rhetorical question, and expecting that, you know, nothing's like home here. And it's not in any way against the wonderful church family in Shakota, because I hold them up next to anyone. But Mom answered and said, you know, actually it does feel like home. And they didn't really believe her at first, but she talked a little more. And I asked her, I said, why do you think that is? And I didn't know she would say this. I didn't know what the answer would be, but she said, our small group. Our small group. We are already connected with those people. And we feel a bond with them. And then by extension, their families. So if you're in Mark Yearout's small group, you know, you get talked to a lot about it. My mom hears about what's going on with you because you're connected through family. Small groups connect new members. I think many of you are here today because when you were new, you connected quickly because you got in a small group. It sped up the process of you feeling like this is home. I know these people. And I think many are here today and the devil did not drag you back out. Because he does so many new ones. He didn't drag you back out because you connected with other members strongly and many of them in a small group. Small groups help foster sharing. I've heard a number of people put something out to the group that's private. They wouldn't come and do that to the whole church family. They're just not comfortable with that, but they would do it in a smaller group. And they've confessed gambling addictions, and they've confessed struggles in relationships. I want to, and I have three or four quotes that I want to share with you from members who've given them to me, saying that I could do that. And the first one is Joy Dyer. Joy says, "What's said at group stays at group." And that is one of the rules of our small groups. What's said in group stays in group. She says, you feel secure in sharing things you may otherwise not have anyone to talk about things. You know you can trust the people. They're there for you whenever you need them. We have fun and study the Bible at the same time. You're free to ask questions and discuss what you're learning. That's a lot of what small groups do, right? They put you in a position where I can trust these people in a deep way, and I can share some of my struggles. I look at small groups as the trenches of Christianity. The Bible talks many times about us being at war with the devil. It's a battlefield, right? A spiritual battlefield for souls. And small groups are, in some ways, the trenches or they're preparing ground. They're a safe haven for us to be able to come and say, here's what I'm dealing with. Would y'all pray for me? Small groups take care of each other. I want to back up a second. Look at James 5:16. You may not have thought of this in this way. Oftentimes we think of this verse as come before the whole church and confess, but it says confess your sins to one another. The wording doesn't necessarily imply when you really mess up, go before your whole church family and confess that. Although that is appropriate and biblical. But it's more a setting of one another. Right? Confess to one another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has power as it is working. And so that's a lot of what happens in small groups. They take care of each other. When members of a small group are in need, the small group oftentimes are the ones who come to their aid. Paul Leatherman recently being in his accident and being in the hospital, I go to the hospital to see Paul. Some of his family are there. Kids are there sitting next to Paul. Is Richard Barrett. And there's one reason for that. Because they are close because of small group. And Richard talked about having Paul's back. You see, he's my brother. He would have my back. And I'm going to have his back. And Richard said, I want to quote, "The small group creates an environment of long-lasting friendships with all our faults exposed to each member." Think about that. All our faults exposed to each member, and we are accepted for those and our unique abilities from life's journey. That's pretty special, to have a group of people that not only do they love you. It's one thing to have people that love you, and even if they knew bad things about you, they'd still love you. I feel like we have that, right? But how about people who know some things about you and still have your back? The small group, Richard says, "The small group I'm in, I consider my close immediate family from other earthly family." That's family. Small groups... but look at Galatians 6:2. Scripture tells us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's part of our job to help bear what each other is carrying, isn't it? You have something you're carrying and it's heavy, you have people here that will help carry it. And there's no place that is probably most unique and special as it is in a small group. John 13, here's one we know very well. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." When people come in, they should see unique love here. And I think they do. When people come and visit, they should walk out thinking, man, those people love God and they love each other. I like that. And a lot of that is strengthened because of small groups, because of those bonds. The truth is, 260, 70, 80, we are not going to be intimate in each other's lives. We're not going to be really close to that many. You can't do it. But you can do it with 8 or 12 that you meet with on a weekly basis. Small groups, one of the benefits and blessings is that they study as a group. When you think of the ways that we study Scripture as a church, so the sermon is one. You listen to a sermon. The sermon is one direction. It's from the preacher to you, the listener. So there's a connection, but it's one direction. Now, in a Bible class like we had this morning, Bible classes, it's still mostly one direction. There's a teacher, and then we'll have comments, okay? But mostly one direction. Small group is unique because when we study in a small group, it's mutual. You will ask a question, or a person in a small group might ask a question in that setting with 8 or 12 other people that you wouldn't necessarily ask in a larger class. You might not feel comfortable. Anyone ever wanted to ask a question, but you just thought, this might be a dumb question? If I ask this, because I don't know it, Maybe it's so obvious, I'm going to look dumb by asking it. Anyone ever done that? But in a small group setting, you're in a place where you can put that out there safely and trust, and great study takes place in those groups. Number 6, small groups encourage each other. And this may sound like one of the points earlier, that we support each other, have each other's back, take care of each other. But this is a different kind of encourage. Look at Hebrews 10:24. This is a passage we're pretty familiar with. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another." Let's stop there. Stir up one another. This is not the kind of stirrup that you might think. Does anyone know someone in your life who's kind of an instigator? Likes to stir up trouble? You know, just likes to kind of get people irritated at each other and get people pitted against each other. I've been in small group with some people like that. I've been in small group enough times with Rick O'Dell that he and my wife would be against each other. Why? Because he got us stirred up. He got us pitted against each other. Like the kid on the playground. He don't want to fight, but he wants these two to fight. Stir up. There's people who just stir up stuff. That's not what this is. Okay? This is, consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. This is cheerleading. Cheering each other on. This is helping each other. You can do that. This is telling each other. Sometimes it's godly wisdom. Telling each other how to keep the faith. How to stay faithful to Christ. Verse 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day near. It's similar to this scripture, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. When we share our struggles in a group, when we share things that we're dealing with, we get some godly wisdom from people in our group. We get some feedback. I've had people share things in group, share a struggle of accepting God's forgiveness and feeling like God can't forgive them. Well, you can guess what the group did with that. They stirred them up, cheered them on, encouraged them, helped them to see how much God does love us. And number 7, small groups develop closer relationships. Acts 2:46, here we have this passage we're pretty familiar with. When the church first started in Jerusalem, 3,000. Verse 46 says, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Now, some of them had larger homes. None of them had a home that could hold the Jerusalem church when it first started. None of them. The whole church didn't meet in a home. They met in smaller groups in homes. And they met day by day. They were connected daily. They were connected closely. This is how God wants us connected. It's easy to come and be a part of church, but not really be in each other's lives. And small group doesn't have to be the way you do it. But I do want to encourage all of us. We need to connect more, don't we? We're on Facebook and we're texting and emailing and we're on the phone. And we need to be that with each other. We need to be encouraging each other, cheering each other on. At the end this morning, now during February, the end of this month, we're trying to build up our Sunday night involvement. So we're trying to build up small groups, 5 p.m. service. We have a goal to average 120 on Sunday nights during February. It's not a numbers thing, it's a people thing. So just remember that. When I say 120, I don't mean a number, I mean 120 people who are closer to other Christians than they were before. And so this morning we're at the end, shepherd time, we're gonna have our small group leaders come up. Greg is going to close us with a prayer for our small groups, for those men and their wives and in that leadership. And the small group leaders are going to stay up here for a few minutes after services this morning. Because you may be here and you may have an interest. We have materials at the Welcome Center about small groups. You may have a question. You may have thought, you know, I kind of been wanting to check to try this group, but I keep forgetting I can't. You know, get with the leader and ask a question. And so they're going to wait up here this morning and be available if you want to come talk to them about their group. I want to close and share something Becky Kupiak shared with me. She said, I'm uncomfortable in new situations and around new people. Anyone relate to that? I talked to Carrie Benton for probably a year before I made the actual move from Catoosa to Sand Springs. You probably don't know it, but more than once I came to the church building, walked in, turned around, and walked right back out. I've actually done that a couple times since I started coming here. If I don't see someone I know, or if the situation is something I'm unfamiliar with, I go home. It's easy to, when you really know all the ins and outs here, it's easy to forget what it's like for a newcomer, isn't it? I was raised in the Church of Christ in a small town in southeastern Oklahoma. I started going to the church in Catoosa when my child was about 6 months old. Before Sand Springs, I had never heard of small groups, so I didn't know what it was all about. Even though Carrie patiently explained it to me several times, it sounded too different from anything I'd been a part of before. Almost every Sunday on my way out the door, Brian asked me, will I see you at group tonight? We need to not give up on people. Right? Whether it be praying for people, whether it be encouraging people, whether it be inviting people. I mean, we don't want to stalk people, but we need to not give up on people. Right? Finally, I said, okay. Now I understand what it's all about. It's about people connecting on a personal level and a spiritual level. It's allowed me to get to know a few people at a time. That's a really good thing for someone like me. I really appreciate Becky for letting me share that. And she doesn't know that most or all of us can relate to that. What she said, we can relate to it in some way. There's a lot of power in having a smaller group of people with that is your, this is your team. These are the ones you meet with weekly. These are the ones with, I'll leave you with this thought. I have close connection with some people here, Rick and Brian, Richard Prater, Missy Prater, wives, sorry. Joy Dyer, I'm not going to name all of them. Wallers, Hobsons, Watkins, Sisms, because I've been in small group with them. Small group, they grow, they make two groups, they grow, make two groups, they grow, make two groups. When you're in the trenches with people, you develop a strong bond with them. And that lasts. So I want to encourage you, I want you to think about, if you're not currently in a small group, think about it. Pray for our small groups. God is doing some amazing things in them that we just may not know about, but it's wonderful and it's powerful. This morning we're going to have an invitation. If you're here and there's something heavy on your heart, it's a time that you can, it's a convenient time, you can come and we will pray for you. With you, if there's someone here that's you're not right with God, you're not ready to meet God. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ, never had your sins washed away. If there's a need you have, please come while we stand and sing. All the love for me.